Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for listening to the very first Down Snapcast. It's the NFL with a Yorkshire accent. My name's Ian, and I'm delighted to be your host. However, I'm not doing this thing alone, and I'm lucky enough to be joined by a legion of wonderful NFL fans who are all keen and eager to talk football. So without further ado, let's meet the team. And I can't really start anywhere else but with the boss, the man who started the NFL Fans of Yorkshire Facebook group where this podcast was born. He keeps the place ticking over and gets things done faster than a Khalil Mack pass rush. It's Richard. How are you, Richard?
I'm not too bad, yourself?
Yeah, all good, Richard. Excited about this?
Very excited to get up and running now. It's been something I've wanted to do for maybe about a year now, so it's good to start getting the wheels in motion.
Now, on this podcast, we already have some common themes, one being most of us are called Smith. And one of the other Smiths is Steve. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, good. Should I say Coach Steve? You love that, yeah?
I try to players to call me it, but to be honest with you, it's fairly much of the time.
And completing the hat-trick of Smiths is Alex. Good evening, Alex.
Hi, I'm doing this podcast to reclaim my name. If you're tuning in to hear the Smith, you've got this Alex Smith, which is sort of... I suppose just as good in a way. I do think I'm better. I can throw a better football, so...
Well, there you go.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Undoubtedly. I mean, why are you doing this podcast and not playing in the NFL is beyond me, I don't know.
And finally, but by no means least, we're joined by another one of the admins from the Facebook page, and that's Stuart. How are you, Stuart?
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm glad you put me last as well.
Well, you know what they say about saving the best to last.
Now we've all introduced ourselves, I thought we'd begin by explaining who our team is and what our main hopes are for this season. And I'm going to begin with you this time, Stuart.
Oh, you see, that's a curveball, isn't it, really? I would say that I'm fairly new compared to the rest of the guys on the team to NFL. I probably started following it probably about 10 years ago when I used to work for an American company. I used to work with a guy, funny enough, called Brad, that used to really love NFL, and he used to talk quite passionately about American football. Literally in every meeting I went into, and I used to just berate him saying that it was mostly adverts. But then I actually got in a bar with him and sat and watched the game, and his college team was the Longhorns, and gradually, I just kind of got bought into it, and I really kind of ran with it, and I started to see what a really good sport it was. I had a lot of friends that were Bears fans, and nobody wants to be a Bears fan, do they? So I went a few years in the wilderness of not having a team, until I started playing Madden, and then I basically got drawn the Vikings in a Madden franchise league, and I've never looked back. So the Vikes are my team. It also means that I get some divisional games with my friends who are Bears fans, and you're never too far away from a Packer, are you? Let's be honest, there's cheeseheads everywhere. That's me, that's my history, and yeah. Obviously when Richard wanted to start kicking off the group, I volunteered my services, and here we are today.
Yeah, fab, it's great to have you with us. Yeah, I'm a bit like you, actually. I've only been into the NFL for about 10 years as well, maybe slightly less, actually. The first Super Bowl I watched was... the very first game I watched was the Bolt-Saints Super Bowl. I was a bit like... typical of people in this country, I think. Kind of didn't really understand American football, had a very low opinion of it, had prejudged it. And then, for whatever reason, me and my brother-in-law decided one night to just stay up and watch the Super Bowl because it was on. And so we watched the Colts and Saints, and I just loved it. Like, I just thought, why have I never watched this before?
Yeah, I think the general perception in the country is that it's, you know, why do they wear pads? That's, you know, that's pathetic, because obviously quite a lot of people are used to rugby. And then it's like, why do they always break for adverts? It's just so tedious and they drag it out. I think when you sit down and actually start watching it, you kind of get engrossed in the action, and the adverts and all the rest of it kind of fall to the wayside and just kind of engage with what's going on.
Alex, tell us a little bit about yourself and your team, how you got into the NFL.
Yeah, so the Madden thing really rings true to me, albeit it's going back about 25 years. When I was a kid, I saw it on my mate's shelf for the Mega Drive, and he said, I've tried it once, couldn't get the rules, have a go if you want. So I gave it a try, and it was about the same time that I saw NFL Europe highlights on Transworld Sport on Channel 4.
Oh, Transworld Sport.
Amazing.
What an absolute flash of the past that is.
It's class.
It's awesome, yeah.
But all I remember from it was, there was that skiing, and I think I remember like judo being on it or something. Yeah, totally random show.
Random sports, wasn't it?
Wasn't that the show that Transworld Sport that all have Kabaddi on as well?
Yeah, what a game that is.
Brilliant, by the way,
It's never
seen that recently on Sky Sports.
When I was about like 11 or 12 and we went to New York, it was probably a year or two after like Lawrence Taylor and Sims retired. It hasn't been there since, I've only played the Patriots in Super Bowls.
You're a Patriots fan, aren't you, Richard?
I am. I'm a Patriots fan, but however, I am not a glory supporting Patriots fan, as I liked them when they win the AFC East. So,
wow.
I got brought up in, my dad watched it. Put on the Transworld Sport on Channel 4, and I used to sit up and watch it, and I remember going to a Caboot one weekend, and there was a helmet there, I didn't know what team it was, and I wanted it because obviously I could put it on when I had it on at home and stuff when it was on a weekend, and it turned out to be the throwback Patriots from what they were wearing at the time, before we changed the logo and stuff, before Crafts came in. And again, with the Madden stuff, I had a Mega Drive, I had every single Madden game, and I'd always played Patriots, and it's just been ever since, and we have had a few successful years.
Hey, you're not kidding, yeah. And finally, we've got Steve. Steve, who's your team?
There's not enough of us in the world, so I thought I'd be a Patriots fan.
Can you say that I left the Patriots fans?
Yeah. I became a Pats fan when I did AmeriCamp, which is like a Camp America thing, in Connecticut. And they were selling Wes Welker jerseys for $8. So I decided to buy a Wes Welker jersey without realising then kind of they didn't even play for us anymore. So I kind of bought that. And not knowing what happened. And I went to somebody's house and a pre-season game was on and I watched it. And since then, I thought I'm a Patriots fan. So I didn't even know they were good then. So I'm hoping that kind of gets me into the rule of not being a glory supporter, but I'm sure I'll get some stick anyway.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I'm a Seahawks fan. And obviously I'm fairly new to the NFL, but I can swear I'm not a glory fan. The reason I started supporting the Seahawks was purely because of Marshall
Lynch. Because
you like birds? And I love birds. Yeah, that's it. I live by the seaside, so, you know, Seahawks.
Seagulls, Seahawks, same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's no difference.
Can you imagine there's a Seahawks stealing a chip?
I have no hand left. But, so, yeah, basically, so after I'd watched the Super Bowl, the Colts Saints Super Bowl, the year after, I was looking for a team, and the Seahawks, this team from the Northwest, got, you know, through to the playoffs with a 7-9 record. They were unfancy. There was uproar about the fact that they'd qualified for the playoffs with a 7-9 record when better teams hadn't qualified and all that kind of stuff. And I remember watching the Seahawks take on the Saints at CenturyLink Field, and they won. And just remember thinking, wow, look at that crowd, that is just unbelievable. And of course, it was the game where Marshawn Lynch did the Beastquake thing, and I just fell in love with it then. I fell in love with the crowd and the atmosphere and the team. That turned out to be quite a good pick going forwards, and obviously, you know, we won a Super Bowl and stuff a few years later, and that's great. And then things are not looking quite as rosy now, but, you know, it's still been...
When you said it was a really good pick, I did hold back a lot to not say so was my buzz, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I think we should have a rule that we're not allowed to mention Super Bowl 49, in particular the final play of Super Bowl 49.
But he has such a great surname. Surely we can talk about it.
Yeah. Maybe that's something that we can...
Yeah, maybe you can advise the audience of why the Seahawks didn't just run it.
I think this has been covered elsewhere a lot of times.
Sorry, it was a genuine technical question about why they passed it.
Well, yeah, it's just, you know, it's always comes up, innit? Why didn't they run it?
So you've got two things, don't you? Was it second down or first down and second one? So on second and one, you've always got the idea of protecting the sticks on defense. So you're going to be thinking about where are they going to get to a first down. But when it comes to goal line, you're always going to look for man coverage because 9 times out of 10, you're going to go man coverage on those goal line situations. And Pete Carroll tried to take advantage of that by running, I think it's called a mesh or something, to take away man coverage.
But they'd been using that play previously. So yeah. There's three playoffs, and I think that's where they went wrong. They'd used a play
it.
That they'd...
That's it.
Yeah, there's famously that clip, isn't there, of the Patriots. They were like an indoor practice, and actually they practiced that exact scenario. Let's look at some news then.
NFL news and rumours.
Once again, we're being blessed in this country to 3 more NFL regular season games in the capital. We've got the Super Bowl champs, the Eagles, taking on the Jags in what should be a great contest at Wembley. And the same venue will see the Chargers take on the Titans a week earlier too. But there's fresh doubt over whether Tottenham Hotspur's new ground will be ready to host the Seahawks at the Raiders. And reports today suggest that should the new White Hart Lane not be ready on time, the game will be switched to Wembley. So, what's your take on this, gents?
Rich, let's start with you. Well, it's always been talkable about the movement of the Spurs. NFL have paid invested a lot of money into Tottenham Hotspur to get this ground. And I can't not see it happening there. They've got the pre-test events and it'd be a massive slap in the face for the NFL if this game doesn't happen at Tottenham.
To be honest, I'm inclined to agree, Rich, but as NFL's best intentions to get the game on, that's not going to make the builders build it any quicker and get the safety checks that they need in place done any quicker. I think the NFL have done the right thing in obviously finding a backup. I know that they tentatively asked the RFU whether they could use Twickenham again, but obviously the FA have come back and said that... Wembley was available. My concern around is not whether the stadium is going to be finished. I think it's probably going to be finished. It's whether the vast amount of safety regulations that they're going to have to tick off and get through is going to allow them the time to do what they need to do for that game. I know that Spurs have already, they're playing away for the first 3 or 4 games. So that
and one at Wembley
says
as well.
About, and yeah, and one at Wembley. So that already says that, you know, things aren't really going to the plan. I think NFL will be really annoyed because they have invested some significant money in that venue.
Yeah, I think Spurs aren't playing until like mid-September, are they? So, was that always the plan with their fixture list, or has that been altered?
No, I think the plan, I think about June time there was rumours that they were going to ask the Premier League when the fixtures came out, because I know they did a similar thing for Liverpool and West Ham before when their grounds were getting sorted to switch their home games to away, so I think it was always on the cards. For about June time.
Well, September 15th is meant to be the inaugural game of for Spurs. I think it's Liverpool. So if that's what a month...
That's exactly a month, isn't it?
You know, then surely if they're going to get that inaugural game and the crowds are expecting, it's got to be ready for an NFL game.
My worry is that if the NFL are already touting around looking for the venues, I question whether they're going to be ready for that first game in September. Because if the NFL are already concerned for a game that's in October... then, you know, I think Spurs are going to be concerned for their Premier League games.
I think the fact that this news has come out suggests that it's not as plain sailing as it should be.
Yeah.
And I think that there is the NFL might just be a bit nervous about what's going on.
I think that's why they've delayed the ticket sales, aren't they, to all people until the last minute possible, just to see what they're going to do.
But that is a worry, though, after the... obviously, the NFL... they didn't have the best feedback, really, from how they've handled ticket sales for the other games coming up. Are they really giving them time to put proper arrangements in place for a game this soon, really?
I think that they know that the demand's always going to be there for the tickets. So from a financial standpoint, you're on a no-lose because you know you're going to sell them whichever venue you put them at. They're going to sell out within a week. Yeah, and plus, you know, a lot of people think that Raiders Seahawks game is the the kind of crown glory of the three games going over. I know that there's some, obviously, some debate about, obviously, the Super Champs coming over, but at the point in which it was announced, you know, there's a lot of people looking at that Raiders Seahawks game as the key game.
And to open a stadium with that game as the NFL's new home, it's kind of a showpiece game, isn't it?
I think that's why it was chosen, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's why it was chosen, yeah. Now, it wouldn't be the NFL training camps without a few players holding out. Already we've seen high-profile stars such as Earl Thomas in Seattle, now in Donald in LA, not showing up. And one player you can take off that list is the Atlanta Falcons' Julio Jones, who will report for training camp on Thursday after agreeing an adjustment to his 2018 contract. The Falcons and Jones will negotiate his contract before the 2019 season now. However, one other player who is holding out is Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh. Now, last season we saw him hold out for the entire training camp period. Although both sides felt they were closer to a deal this year, the fact remains that there is no agreement in place. And with the LA Rams running back Todd Gurley agreeing a $60 million contract earlier this week, perhaps Bell has a point. Stuart, what do you make of this?
I mean, I understand where he's coming from, Le'Veon Bell. He's obviously wanting to be paid as a number one running back, which obviously is you know, one of the top running backs in the league. But he also wants, I think it's a number three wide receiver as well. So he's effectively wanting to double stack that money. Steelers aren't wanting to use effectively what is quite a lot of cap on one player. And I can understand their standpoint. And I think, you know, catching backs now are a part of the game. That's where they're all back. So he holds out again from camp, like he did last year. He didn't have a great start to the year because he wasn't at camp. He wasn't getting, you know, he wasn't getting work with his O-line. He wasn't, you know, kind of getting with them. If he does that again, and he's already made a statement saying that he's going to have the best year yet, that's easy to say, but it's harder to do. It's like any team sport. You want your whole team to be gelled and ready to go from day one. And, you know, with the Bell situation was that he came late to camp, and he won't have been as up to speed as the rest of his team. And I use Beckham as an example in the other way, where he's obviously only got a year left to run his contract, but he's gone the other way, where he's attended all the OTAs, he's now fully ready for camp, he's committed to camp, and he's gone the other way, where he wants to be giving the best he can to gain the best contract, if you know what I mean. So there's two kind of approaches to it.
Hey, Stuart, I mean, you've got to earn it. You know, look at Todd Gurley, he's earned it. That's that big contract, $60 million contract, he's earned that. Whereas Le'Veon Bell's a personality to me. Yeah, he's a good tackle-to-tackle when he bounces about, good passing back, but at the end of the day, if he was on a different team, I don't think he'd still be a team. I think if it was a Patriots or something like that, he'd be out.
It does frustrate me, Le'Veon Bell, because he came out and goes, we were so close, he always reaches, I will retire a seal. Well, if you'd make a bit more of a, not say mix, he's not making the right fit in the contract talks, but if he wants to retire a dealer, he needs to be a bit more acceptable to what they want to give him.
And here's what Bell said in response to Todd Gurley's $60 million 4-year deal with the Rams. He posted on Twitter, and I'll quote this. He put, "Lol, and people thought I was tripping." So, I'm afraid accents aren't my strong point. Has he got a point?
But they offered him a pretty huge contract. I think they offered him $40 million a year, didn't they? And he wanted 80. They're not a million miles off.
Yeah, I mean, apparently he was after $17 million a season. I can't remember if it was 12 or 14 that they offered him, but it was a lot. It was more than any other running back in the league until, obviously, Todd Gurley.
Pittsburgh might have hit him if Juju didn't have a breakout season last year. But the fact they've got Antonio Brown and Juju played really, it's broke out, I don't think they've got them as the main two wide receivers.
Well, I'm sure it's a drama that will roll on and on throughout training camp. Just one word on Julio Jones. So his contract's been renegotiated for the 2018 season. The Falcons and Jones are apparently going to negotiate before the 2019 season. Do you think that's a fair deal?
He's the best receiver in the league. I think his salary was like 9th best out of the league. I think if you can name 8 better receivers than him, then I think you're wrong. So, you know, I think, you know, that's spot on line, really.
Yeah, I mean, talent-wise, I totally agree with you. I think he's definitely within the top 3 receivers in the league. My bugbear with this is that he had a 3-year deal, and he's holding out when he's got 3 years left to run his contract. It's not like the other guys are holding out who are entering the last year of the contracts. What I don't want to do is I don't want the NFL to head the way that football is, where your contract doesn't really mean that much. I do think that this might be the start of maybe some of the top players signing short-term contracts to gain more leverage. I think that's something that might happen going forward.
Yeah, and are we getting to a situation where the players have too much power?
yeah, I think this situation shows that, you know, because he can hold out with 3 years left on his contract and he still managed to negotiate something for this season, means that the power is definitely shifting towards the players. Now, whether that's right or wrong, I think the teams are obviously going to have a lot to say about that. But for me, it doesn't quite sit right.
No, I don't think it's done with contract. We've seen the effects, haven't we, in fall over here with players at the power, and I just thought it'd be a shame to see it happen over there.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's a balance, isn't it? But
it's a weird one because
players holding out and stuff it's going to become more and more common. I think it is becoming more and more common.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Julio is one of the top receivers in the league and should be paid accordingly. But you know, he signed that contract. You know,
yeah, I just wonder on this. You know, he signed it 2 years ago. How was he paid in respect to everyone else then? Was it a good contract at the time? Have things just moved on?
I think it was for like how long he'd been in the NFL. I do believe it was decent, but I think with game evolving and the class of Brown and everyone, I think, and because he's better than Brown, he wants to be either or more than him or on the same.
But this is it. Oh, it's all, you know, my dad's car's better than your dad's car. He's got a car than me. I want. It's like, you know, just play a game.
Yeah, I mean, you've opened up a can of worms there, Richard. Is Julio better than Brown? That's a debate to have. But teams scramble around for a quarterback, don't they? I think that's where you build your roster from, is getting the franchise quarterback in place. And I think if you think you found, got to lock them in.
Yeah, I think that's been the case definitely with the 49ers, where obviously it's been a little bit sort of hit and miss with QBs for a while since, you know, the old legends that they had. But in terms of, you know, people like Lev Bell and Julio Jones holding out for higher wages, I do wonder whether something comes into their logic that maybe, because those are players that are such focal points of their offense, they're going to be drawing so much attention from defenses who are going to be going out to tackle them harder. Whether it's something like they're just trying to ensure that, you know, if one day I go out to play the game and then all of a sudden, I God forbid, I can't walk again after it.
They just want to make their money now, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
Historically, in football, the two highest players on the team were the quarterback and the blindside, And it seems to be shifting now, and it seems to be that a lot of the offensive weapons are now getting paid, you know, as much as the guys protecting the quarterback. So maybe that's just how things are going.
If you ask yourself, if you could go to work knowing you could get paid more, but you're not, would you try and get paid more? No matter whether it's an NFL player or anybody else. If you can get paid more, you could.
Yeah, but then there's the issue about contracts, isn't there, and how long have you got left in your contracts and all that sort of stuff. I think it's a debate for another... It's a really interesting debate.
I think we'll touch on it again.
In the future, yeah.
No, if I decided I wanted more money and I didn't go to work and I held out, I would get taxed.
Exactly, that's it. Yeah.
We're not talented enough to be wanted, are we? That's the problem. Anyway, right, moving on to the last story in the news for this week. It's one of the bizarre and serious stories, if we're honest, of this off-season has involved LeSean McCoy. Could you just fill us in on the details of what's been going on this off-season?
His girlfriend turned up at a hospital, I believe, to start with, and with serious injuries to the face. And it's story after story has come out that his nerve has been his dogs, his children. Mm. It just seems to have escalated yet. There's not been like the official word from himself yet.
He's going to camp, isn't he? He's going to camp on time, as normal.
Yeah, he turned up for camp today, didn't he? So... He's categorically denied it, hasn't he? He said that when the assault took place, he wasn't even in the house. He wasn't even in the same state, I don't think. I think she allegedly said that she was in his house and he assaulted her, or he sent some people to assault her in his house. Mm. That's the allegations. But it's all got a bit messy in the fact that a lot of stories are coming from her best friend. So it all seems a bit, he said, she said, we said, they said kind of situation.
Yeah, and it's worth pointing out at the moment that the police are investigating, but there's no charges against him at the moment.
Yeah, but I mean, likewise, last year there was no actual justice for, sorry, there was no police action against Ezekiel Elliott and he got a 6-game ban. There was no police action taken against Zeke and he got a 6-game ban. So whereas he's claimed he's not done anything, I think the NFL, just because of the rumours and that they will see that as bringing the game into disrepute, I think that's what will probably affect him.
Yeah, I mean, are we expecting the NFL to take action on this? Is that Because they haven't at the moment, but are we? Is that what we think is going to happen?
I think with what they did with the Zeke case last year, it's going to happen. They've set the standards in the league now.
I think it will, but I don't think it'll be consistent. If you look at the consistency in this kind of stuff in the NFL, you know, it's mixed from one game to six games as the range. And I don't know if it's a consistent thing or whether it'll be, you know, we did this last year, we're going to do it this year. I just don't think there's enough control in the league to have that consistency.
So it could be the case that even if there's no action taken by the NFL this year, is there going to be some further down the line in a year or two?
That's possible.
The NFL are definitely going to investigate it. Yeah. I know in the past that they have suspended players whilst an investigation's going on.
I mean, they probably are obviously looking at it, aren't they, internally, and then one day we'll have some sort of announcement, and then there'll probably be appeal after appeal after appeal, and who knows what else. So, here on the Snapcast, what we thought we'd do on our first ever episode was look at things that we're really looking forward to for the 2018 season, and we compile a kind of top 10 things that we're really looking forward to. Richard, would you start us off? What are you really looking forward to seeing this season?
I have the fifth. I think we may see a win in Cleveland.
Are you talking a win season or just one win?
I believe a winning season is possible.
How much I
just think they've got it in them. I think they've recruited well. They've relied on the draft picks, whereas this year they went out and were trading picks to get players. And I think that we've done the first round picks for 3 years. We've won one game in 3 years. We need to do something different.
Yeah, but it takes more than a superstar lineup to win a game. It takes, you know, where the Browns were schematically, the way they coach-wise, you know, franchise-wise, I think they're going in the right direction, but just because you've got superstars on the field doesn't mean they're going to play together. It can cause a couple more friction than anything else.
My issue with the Browns at the minute is I think they've got probably the best roster that they've had in a long time, but I've still got some significant question marks over their coaching team. How many coaches have kept the job after winning one game in two seasons?
None.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's where I think there's some issues. I think the Browns have still got to address. The problem is that they're in some good positions to win some games in the last two seasons, and the coaching staff have not managed to get them over the line.
If Mayfield have that, though, is he passing to what really are some of the best receivers in the league, even though they're playing for the Browns? Is he going to have leadership and qualities of an NFL quarterback to make those plays to those guys?
Yeah, I think a lot of NFL teams are in such a desperate search for the franchise quarterback that they ruin some of the colleges by throwing them into the. Basically, they're throwing it at the oven. We're not even ready, and they just burn out.
A sensible option, your dad. I mean, Tyrod Taylor is back QB. He hasn't got the biggest throwing arm on him, but he can get things done. He's a very tactical sort of a quarterback, and if the ball collapses on him, he's got great legs for a QB as well. I really like the idea of in offense this year. Titans and McCaffrey is a cliche, but for a second year tight end this year, I think David Njoku could get a lot of good work. If you're watching for a bargain tight end in fantasy, I think with how much Tyrod loved Charles Clay at Buffalo, maybe that translates up to Cleveland as well.
Yeah, but you could see him get a lot of action, couldn't you, if Taylor keeps the same similar styles.
Yeah. I mean, he has a lot of potential anyway, but with so many more options now on their offense opening up space, maybe he's a sneaky one to look at.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a good set of running backs as well, haven't they? Because they've got Duke Johnson, they've got Carlos Hyde, and didn't they draft Chubb as well?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not bad. They're pretty stacked on offense with options. So, and like you said, Tyrod took the Bills to the playoffs. So, that's why I don't think you'll see Mayfield. Probably unless they know that they can't do anything, maybe later in the season you'll see him.
Yeah, I think back to probably like Ian's point is that he said they've got the offense, but with that coaching setup, is the coaching setup going to work for them all? Say Hugh Jackson, is he the coach who Taylor and Landry are going to listen to?
I think that's the remaining question that the Browns need to answer.
Yeah, and we'll find out, won't we? Steve, what are you looking forward to this year?
Biggest thing I'm looking forward to is seeing Shaquem Griffin, seeing what he does. It's the one buzz that I had during the draft, was seeing what he'd get picked up. Fifth round was a bit late for me. I kind of expected third, but maybe Pete Carroll just kind of knew, but I think he'll make an effect on special teams to start with and hope that he gets at least an edge spot. But watching the guy play for UCF was just incredible. Like, absolutely incredible. I just can't wait to see what he's got.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's going to be really, really interesting. And I just, what a story.
Yeah.
Like, just an incredible story. And yeah, I just hope it works out for him. I'm super excited about it as well. And, you know, I hope he does really well.
Yeah, I think it's a really good landing spot for him as well, because he's there with his brother as well. So I think that's really going to help him get the best out of him, because him and his brother are very close. So I think that's really going to
kind of make sure that he doesn't, if you know what I mean, because obviously his brother is key for the Hawks, isn't he? So that is definitely one to watch.
The thing is, he's so quick off the edge as well, that even if he's not a coverage guy, if he's not a sub-package kind of guy, he's still, you know, put him on the line as a stand-up end, and you see what he does.
Oh, he's lightning.
Yeah, it's just so fast.
Let's go. So, I mean, the one thing that I'm looking forward to, really, is to see what actually happens with Andrew Luck.
Now, I had that on my list. Andrew Luck returning.
Yeah.
Is on my list as well.
Well, apparently he's going to participate in 100% of training camp. He's going to take all first team snaps and he's going to play in pre-season. So I reckon he'll be back on the pup list by week one.
I was going to say, like, the Colts as a whole this year, for the amount of investment that they've put in new young talent, the likes of Nelson and the, I mean, the running backs and the receivers that they got later in the draft as well. The likes of, you know, your Nyheim Hines, and players like Kane and Fountain, the wide receivers, they do have so much raw potential about them that they could look like a completely different team this year. It's so easy to think that, for how they did last season and for that investment in youth, maybe they're going to want for that lack of experience this year, whether they have Andrew Luck or not. But on the other side, I think either way, really.
Yeah, but I mean, with that amount of youth, they really need Luck, because I'm not sure that Brissett can take them. It won't be able to feed where those young lads are going to need the passes, and that's, you know.
Brissett's got
they've got a lot.
Keeping hold of the ball and just running. If he doesn't see his first option, he's just right, I'm taking it, and I'm 6'8" or whatever, so I'm just going to run.
Yeah.
The Colts don't need that. They need somebody who's going to really just stay calm in the pocket, and that's Luck, the guy who comes back, you know.
Would we be saying if Luck goes down early in the season, do you think, because that'd be, obviously if it's a long term thing, do you think his career might be over with 3 years being out if he does go down this year?
I think it's make or break for him, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just, as a fan of the NFL, I the guy is an incredible talent, and I just really want to see him have a full run at a season again and just see what he can do. And just, that's what I'm excited about. I just want to see him play regularly.
Yeah, I mean,
and see what he can do.
That was my point, really. I'm more in hope that I want him to, you know, I think my heart is, yes, come on, Luck, you can play a full season, but my head's telling me that he's going to be injured again by at least week four.
Yeah.
Artis,
yeah, and that's always the risk.
In his mentality, though, in the entire 2 years he's been out, he's not let his focus drop from coming back. He's like carried on training. He's tried to do everything he can to get back.
It must be such a dark place to be as well, you know, like getting seriously injured, coming back, and then thinking you're going to come back, but then never.
Yeah, yeah. I'm fairly certain that the vast amount of millions of dollars that he earns kind of softens the blow a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. I'm going to throw something out there that's a little bit different. I'm going to say a whole team is what I'm looking forward to seeing, and it isn't the Seahawks. It's actually the Oakland Raiders, and I'm just fascinated to see what happens with John Gruden. I really genuinely think it could be a car crash, or it could be magic, and I've got no idea which way it'll go.
Yeah, I go with your point there. It's going one way or other.
I mean, I suspect at the moment it's going car crash. At the moment, that's how it feels.
There's rumours today that they're probably going to cut Penn as well. So that's an interesting decision, because they drafted, didn't they? So there's been some interesting decisions, I think, will come out of Auckland.
And there does seem to be some disharmony in the camp. Apparently, Khalil Mack's not talking to Gruden.
No, I've seen that story. And if we're not talking to one of your best defensive players, you're going to have problems.
The story goes, though, that Gruden has apparently tried to make contact with him, but he's not responding. I know this sounds like really petty office politics, to be honest.
The thing he did was get rid of the best punter in the league.
And yeah.
It made no sense to let Marquette Kingard, didn't understand that. I kind of thought it was him trying to make a stand and say, I'm here for the long run and I'm here to cut the fat, but, you know, didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, but they've also done some really other weird things, like they've let Michael Crabtree go, and they've replaced him with Tavis Bryant, which is a really odd one for the locker room, really, because I don't think he's a particularly good person to have around.
It's definitely going to be interesting, though, isn't it?
One way or the other. Yeah, that's what I hope from as well. I really want them to do well, the Raiders, because it kind of seem, just from the people I know that are a little older than me who support, you know, 90% of the Raiders fans for some reason.
Yeah.
And, I just want them to do well because of that reason, and it's interesting to watch them. I like watching them. But by the fifth, sixth game, just like, oh, well, that's a letdown.
Yeah. I think the issue they've got, this is the last year they've got the Coliseum. They haven't actually signed a stadium deal for 2019. And we're not moving to Vegas to 2020, so the fans are already starting to turn because of the move. So if it starts off bad, the fans are going to be on the back straight away.
And that's exactly why I'm interested. I just want to see how it unfolds, because I just think it could be gloriously tragic.
What a phrase, gloriously tragic.
As long as they play, as long as it's a good game when they come to London, it's fine. They can play well that week and then go back to shocking afterwards.
Yeah. No, I hope they play poorly that week, but anyway. So, who's next?
Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco.
Yes.
Definitely.
Hang on. You're missing one there. What about RG3?
Oh, sorry, yeah. RG3. But, you know, top of the list. What's going to happen? You know, the first words out of Lamar Jackson's mouth were, I'm going to win you a Super Bowl, baby. I'm not going to do that accent. Is he?
And then did you see Flacco's first comments when they returned for training? I need to stay for him to get in.
Really?
Yeah. It's an odd one because, again, I think... Jackson, I'd be surprised if you see him, because again, I think Ravens have given a lot more options than they had last year. A player's looking a lot more lively than was his footworks.
Well, it sounds
yeah.
It sounds like he's sort of got a kick up the backside, doesn't it? And he's kind of putting a bit more effort in and stuff from all reports.
But there was also rumours that they're going to play Jackson in as a slot receiver, which seems a bit odd. So I think you might see something weird with Jackson. Yeah, I think he'll be used.
Special teams are mentioned.
Yeah, I think he'll be used, but whether he's used as a quarterback, it's an open for debate, that one, I think.
Would they, I mean, if they were going to use the last draft pick in the first round to do that, though, would you think they would? Because, you know, 32nd in the first round.
I think
just take him off the board just so nobody else gets him.
Because they traded up for him, didn't they?
Yeah, I think he will be the long-term quarterback, because I want him to play because he's lightning. I mean, he's such a game-changer when he gets the ball in hand that they might want to just get him on the field somehow. And, you know, whether that's in the slot or whether that's as a returner on specials, we'll have to wait and see.
But Ravens are known for benching, because obviously when they were at Wembley last year, Flacco had a nightmare and he got benched in third quarter. So...
He did have a proper nightmare, didn't he?
He did. And it weren't the only game last year he had a nightmare in.
Yeah,
but I think Flacco leads that team either. I think, you know, you look at a lot of stuff that goes on, it's almost as if he doesn't lead the team, he's just there. You know, ever since Ray Lewis went, it's almost as if there's that gap now in the leadership of the team. And maybe that's what they think Lamar Jackson could bring down the line.
I do think if he gets benched here, I think that'll be done. I think if he gets benched and Jackson comes in and doesn't even play better, but is just... Because he's got so many more upsides to him, I think you might not see Flacco again, or you might see him traded.
Cool, right, Rich? Have you got something else
on the side of divisions? Obviously, I think the NFC is definitely getting a lot more stacked, and it's catching up after many years of AFC dominating. But one division, I know Stuart will be very passionate, but I'm looking forward to see NFC North battles this year, with Cousins going to the Vikings.
It's sewn up. I don't know what the problem is.
You got Bears winning.
I'm putting the Vikings in the Super Bowl already, to be honest.
What a good man. What a top man.
I'll probably regret to live that. Live to regret that down the line, but I can't see any reason why they can't, personally.
Well, they were almost there last year, weren't they?
Yeah,
but I mean, the thing about last year is that, we got beat by Philly, but I think we also got very lucky against the Saints team. I think in that fourth quarter, the Minnesota Miracle, that was... It was more fortuitous than it was skill. I think the missed tackle was just silly from a rookie, really. And we got a bit lucky with that. Because effectively in that second half, we got completely outplayed by Breeze. He absolutely dominated us.
And there's no pressure for home Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I don't think that helped, to be honest. Because I think we fell apart a little bit against the Eagles. We got in front and then we just seemed to completely lose the ability to defend. All the coverage went, which is usually what we're good at. I think the pressure got to us of the kind of that home Super Bowl in Minnesota.
But I think the franchise is in the right place with the right people at the right time. It's now got a good quarterback, I think, who's gonna. I think it's just got everything now to do essentially what the Eagles have done this year. And
yeah, I totally agree. The one thing that I really like about the Vikings is the fact that when they draft, they stick with the player. I know that a lot of teams draft and then eventually if they don't make it after 2 years, they kind of cut them free. A prime example of that is, you know, one of the cornerbacks that we've got, Trey Waynes, has kind of had a pretty rocky two seasons with us. And I think in any other team he might have been cut, but we've kind of stuck with him and we're actually seeing the benefits of that now. And he's actually coming good. So I kind of like that in Minnesota. I also think that same kind of goes for Laquon Treadwell. That's my outside pick for fantasy as well, is to get your Treadwell as your sleeper for a wide receiver. I think he's going to have a big year.
Nice one. Good tip, Stuart. Thanks. I'll write that down. Okay, so we'll just go around one more time. Very quickly, has anyone got any honourable mentions that they'd like to say about things they're excited for the 2018 season?
Yes. For me, lots of really exciting talent I haven't touched on yet. So I'm really excited, of course, the Giants to see Saquon Barkley take the lead by storm in his first season. I've broken my rule of buying a jersey with a rookie on the back this year. Oh. I've gone completely overboard. But
I hope it works out.
I know. Well, it feels like centuries since we've had a really good running back, a natural running back. So fingers crossed that works out. But not wanting to be, you know, whether you want to call this section a no-homers club after this or whatever, I am really looking forward to seeing, you know, Deshaun Watson get a full season under his belt, hopefully, injury-free.
Yeah, he was on my list as well, Deshaun Watson. I'm really, really excited to see him play. I think it was such a shame that he got injured last year because he was just really getting into the flow of it all, and he was exciting.
Changed the league while he was in it last year. Yeah. So
I'm concerned about his offensive line in front of him, but you know I'm sure he can. He's going to be fab to watch.
Yeah, I mean my only questions about that is whether his knee will hold up. Do they come back the same after a knee injury?
Yeah, and there is that as well. Yeah. Stuart, what else are you looking forward to?
So, I mean, just the last one for me is that, you know, historically over the years, it's proven that just because you draft a quarterback in the first round, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to turn into the franchise quarterback that you want. And quite a large percentage of them turn into flops. You know, there's a whole list of quarterbacks drafted in the first round that turned into flops. So I'm interested to see which one of the quarterbacks drafted in the first round turns out to be an absolute dud.
And who's your money on?
If I had to say now, I think...
Yeah, if you had to pick.
I don't know, Rosen, maybe?
Yeah, he's going to be so interesting, especially with what he said sort of immediately after the draft.
Yeah, but I also think that Allen could be a flop because I don't think the Bills are set up for a rookie quarterback at all. So we'll have to wait and see. But there's no way that all of them are going to turn into franchise quarterbacks because it just doesn't happen.
I was going to say, if I can just add just for the Bills, that was going to be my... stuff that I'm excited to see for this season is I thought that we sort of covered the Bills and the Browns quite well with the story of, you know, Tyrod and LeSean McCoy earlier on. But the idea that last season I was thinking exactly the same thing about the Bills, that they had no chance with what they'd done in the off season before the start of last year. It felt like they were sort of wrapping one arm behind the back going into the season. But this year, there's even more sort of chaos about the team. It looks like...
Both arms behind the back.
Yeah, it looks like they might even be applying a straitjacket and they're about to swallow the key. If they show any sign of progress this year or anything close to what they did last year, I think Sean McDermott has to win Coach of the Year and he should go on tour as an escapologist.
Yeah. I mean, I feel sorry for Zay Jones because that lad has got some talent, but he's just never going to see the ball. I mean, yeah. Who's going to throw him it?
It's definitely not Nathan Peterman.
Well, I mean,
best debut in NFL history he had.
Yeah, but I mean, who else have you got there? Do you throw Allen straight into the mix and hope that he hits the ground running?
Well, Benjamin obviously he's had decent games in the NFL. I think last year he never really got into his stride last year. I think he was carrying an injury most of the year with the Panthers, and then when he went to the Bills, he obviously didn't have much talent in the playbook. But they said
he was carrying too much weight, though, didn't they? That's why the Panthers kind of cut him, because he was a bit overweight. And he doesn't look like he's slimmed down much, does he?
No, exactly. But, I mean, the talent is there with him that we've seen before. Yeah. If he can... rediscover anything that he had for like 2 or 3 years ago with the Panthers, albeit it's you know, it's one of these stories with the Bills again, that they are a real underdog this year. But I think the opposite of Cleveland, where on the pitch they've got everything, but in the coaching staff, there's a lot of questions. I think the Bills coaching team last year played everything right for what they had. So if they can do anything similar this year, who knows, basically.
Who knows? Yeah. Steve, what's your honourable mention?
My honourable mention would have to go to Sean McVay, I think. What he's doing with the Rams, or done with the Rams. Youngest head coach in NFL history or modern era history. Just turning.
It's depressing that he's my age. Like, where have I gone wrong?
Well, I thought this year, but...
Don't open that kind of worms.
I just think that he he's doing the right thing. I mean, Brandon Cook's throwing a mix as well. So if they can do... And his five-year contract he's got now, or something.
Cook signed a five.
I just think Sean McVay is new, young head coach that knows how to bring a culture to a team. So he knows how to win a team round by understanding everybody's on the same page. I reckon that, you know, he's doing such a great job, and I can't wait till he hears this podcast and reaches out. But I'm just so excited about what he's going to do.
I mean, just watching All or Nothing when the Rams fired Jeff Fisher, and then the very last episode had Sean McVay coming in, and it was just awesome. Mm. Just from that moment, you just knew that this guy was special. He just had an aura and a presence, and he's completely brought that through to the Rams. And, you know, the NFC West is the Rams to lose this season. Finally, let's finish with Rich then. Rich, what's your honourable mention?
So my honourable mention goes to see if the Jaguars D can carry a non-quarterback team to a championship game again.
Oh, that's a controversial thing, isn't it?
I mean,
they've got to throw one out there.
If you ask Blake Bortles, he's the best quarterback in the league.
I know, the Jags D just excites me what they do.
It's great.
They're all over the place. So if they can play like they did last year, they're worth watching. Even if they don't win games, that D's just out there.
So what are we saying then, guys? A Vikings, Jaguars, Super Bowl?
I could see that.
I don't know if I go that far, because obviously the Patriots will be there.
I was just trying to not mention Patriots there, but they should be. But...
Yeah, I thought we'd done pretty well since talking about Malcolm Butler in... Early on,
from that famous Super Bowl victory.
It's been brilliant.
I think that the Jaguars have definitely got the potential. Sorry, the Jaguars have definitely got the potential to go all the way if they sort out their quarterback. But I still think Blake Bortles could be a championship quarterback. I'm sticking with that. I don't know why I'm saying that. It is brave. I know it's brave, but if you look at the drives last year in the AFC game and previously, you know, he can hold a drive. But
is that the game where he ran more than he passed?
Yeah, it might be. But I don't know. I just like the guy, and maybe I say that because the Jags gave me a free hat when I did a flag job.
Oh, it's all coming out now, isn't it?
It's important to remember as well when we're talking about Blake Bortles. Honourable mention here to Bortles facts on Twitter. But since the 2011 season, Blake Bortles has the same amount of playoff wins at Heinz Field as the Pittsburgh Steelers do.
Oh. Guys, I'm not positivity here, not negativity.
Exactly.
Right, guys. Well, thank you very much for that. Some really interesting stuff. And I just can't wait for the season to start, to be honest. It's going to be fantastic.
Clock is ticking.
So to round off our very first Snapcast, what we thought we'd do is just explain a little bit about what you can expect to come up on, not just next week, but throughout this 2018 season. We've got loads of stuff planned, and Alex is going to explain some of the things that we've got coming up this season.
Over the next couple of weeks, we are lining up various interviews. We want this podcast to be as relevant to the UK game and the regional game in Yorkshire, men's leagues, women's leagues, full contact flag, anything related to the NFL in Britain, as well as obviously the wider NFL as we've discussed here. There's also, obviously, we're all interested in fantasy football. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be interviewing, there's another podcast called the Across the Fantasy Pond podcast. We'll be interviewing a couple of those guys. That's something that we're really looking forward to. There's also, I'm going to be going to the Yorkshire Rams last home game of the season on Sunday. Probably do a bit of a game summary maybe in the first couple of weeks, summing up their season as well with an interview with maybe a player or a coach or two. But if anybody else is involved with the game, wants to speak to us, my Twitter handle, I'm at Unreal Alex Smith. I'm also on Fantasy Life as well, if anyone's on there, is the same name, at Unreal Alex Smith.
Fab. And Rich, just can you just shout out all the this podcast and the NFL Yorkshire group sort of social media site?
Yeah, so we have got obviously the Facebook page, NFL Fans Yorkshire, but we will have a Twitter page starting for the First Down Snapcast. We'll obviously be on Podbeam once obviously it's edited and ready to be live for the public not to giggle and laugh at us. And we'll also be available on iTunes. We've also other stuff in pipeline, not ready to be revealed yet, but very exciting stuff what me and Stuart are working on at the moment in regards to the podcast and the NFL in the area.
Brilliant. And I think that's a super place to leave it this evening. So, guys, thank you very much. Thanks to Stuart, Rich, Alex and Steve. Thank you for listening and join us again next week.
Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.